I'm going to speak for a little while on a part of the passage which we read this morning from John's Gospel, and you can see it highlighted in your order of service. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I think that probably all of you, just like me, you see Christmas as a huge mixture. It is a time of good and of ill, good and bad. And I can't imagine that there's anyone here at some point who did not complain about Christmas. There'll be something that you've all complained about at some time. But this morning, forgetting all the things about Christmas, I want to just try to focus your attention upon what is essential at Christmas. And I want to speak about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a pity that he has been lost over the years, bit by bit. And one wonders in the future whether the person of Christ will ever be able to shine forth again. And so here in this church, in this little time, at the carol service, without any shame and without any apology, I speak completely, totally about him, and I want you, if you will, just give me a little bit of your time to consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas comes every year, and it just simply surely says to every one of us, listen up, listen to the core message, get back to the hub of the thing, get back to the centre. And so, as I say, I preach every year about him, and I make no apologies. And this year I'm preaching about food. And every one of you, you must know that Christmas has almost entirely become consigned to food. It seems to be all about food. The adverts, the commercials confirm this. It's almost as if Christmas has become nothing but food. And this morning I want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. And I'm talking to you about food. You all understand it. You know it well. You're all here this morning, to some extent, because of food. Food has sustained you. And food will play a major part of this Christmas time for each and every one of you. You will have already made your plans. You will have made your advanced purchases for the food that you're going to consume this Christmas. It will be a major part. And so it seems good this morning to hang the Christmas message on this thought of food. Jesus speaks of himself as the one who came down from heaven, and he is the bread of life. And you'll notice in the reading which we had, he doesn't just say he came down from heaven. He specifically speaks of himself as being the bread of life. And so whatever else you take away with you this Christmas, whatever else it is, it might be that you might find a place in your thoughts to consider this. When all the food is being consumed, when all the food is being set out this Christmas, come back to what I'm saying. Think about this. Jesus, the message of him, is that he is the bread of life who has come down to us. Now, this saying of Jesus, I am the bread of life, is just one of the seven sayings, the marvellous sayings, where he speaks of himself. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on and on to speak about himself. I am the bread of life. And if he is saying anything, he must be saying to each and every one of us that he is the necessity for life itself. Now, if we went back to Jesus' day, and we saw what a staple place bread had in the lives of ordinary people, it was so basic that it was basic to actually sustain in life. So that even if you incarcerated someone and you put them into prison, you could sustain them just on bread and water. Bread was able to do this. And Jesus is saying, I've come down into your world because without me, you can't do without me. All of our lives, we live our lives, and this without exception, we live our lives without Jesus the bread of life. And if someone, anyone, listened to this message this morning, and they went away from here and they thought this Christmas about this message, and they said, I recall what was said at Trinity Evangelical Church, you can't do without Jesus, then at least I will have done part of my job, and perhaps by the grace of God, it will remain with each and every one of us for the rest of our lives. Now, someone inwardly, even now, may well be laughing at the very thought of it. You can't do without Jesus. I can take care of myself. I'm affluent. That's what people think. I'm affluent. I've got a car. I've got a great job. I've got a wife, a husband. I've got a family. I've got everything that I need. Thanks very much. I can do without this Jesus, this bread of life. Well, let's just assume, just for a moment, that everything is going to go well in your life. Everything. Just imagine if it did. Surely there isn't anyone so naive to believe that you'll be able to pass through life with everything that is going to just go absolutely swimmingly and perfectly. I'm telling you, honestly, frankly, we're on a collision course and it's just a matter of time before impact. Not one of us can avoid that day of collision. Not one of us can get away from the fact that we're coming to the end of our lives one day. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, if he gets everything, but he loses his soul? And it's the soul of man. It's our lives that Jesus has become the bread of life for, to bring us back to life, so that we might live not only in this life, but have eternal life. Now, I know that there will be some people this morning who say, well, I've managed my life very nicely and I'm on top. Well, you're on top now, but you won't always be on top. And one day, each and every one of us must meet our Maker. And on that day, for sure, he will be the one who will be on top. God knows that that day is coming. And so he says to us, you need the new life of Jesus now. You need to feed on him now. You need to be nourished now by him. You need him to get to the deepest recesses of your life now. You need to get yourselves to the bread of life now. To the depths of your souls, you need the bread of life. And you know what? Believing that he exists is not what he wants. He wants to be in you, root and branch. He wants to give life to your very life. Some years ago, sadly, unfortunately, I became very unwell with a disease. And at the time, I was recommended to go to London to see a specialist. And the specialist was a nutritionist, an expert nutritionist. And she said to me bluntly, do you know why you have cancer? And I said, no. And she said, you have cancer because the cells in your body, the cells that really do the job of fighting as the immune system to save your life, have gone to sleep. They're sleepy. The soldier cells that just see the cancer sneaking up on you are dormant and sleepy. Don't you realize that your immune system is at rock bottom? Now, can you imagine how intently I listened to that woman? And imagine if any one of you would have been there at that meeting, how intently you would have all listened to her. And when she spoke about the vital nutrition that is needed for the body, you would have been all ears. You would have listened. Why? Because your life depended upon it. And I was no different. Of course I listened. And it's not surprising to any one of us to hear today that so many people are sick with cancer because of the question of nutrition, of the food which we are either not eating or that we are eating. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I will give you the nutrition to your very soul, and I will save your life. I wonder how many of us can remember that wonderful 1960s film, the musical Oliver. I hope that all of the young people have seen it. You'll probably remember that Oliver was in the workhouse, and as all the children came down the steps at the very beginning, and they sang food, glorious food. They sang it as they had got the whiff of the wonderful food that was being brought, the culinary delights for their masters. But then they were told to dig in to what? To gruel, that grey slop that was just brought out to them every day. Food, glorious food, what a picture. Jesus is food, glorious food for every one of our souls. It's just that at the moment we have never ever tasted it. And do you know why? I put myself here for every one of you. If all you've ever eaten is gruel, it's all you know. Before I became a Christian, all I had ever eaten was gruel. Jesus says, don't labour for the food that spoils. Don't labour for that food, but labour for that which comes up to eternal life. That food that can last. That food which will do you good through this life. That food which will do you good into the life to come. And I know very well that many of you, you hunger. You hunger for success. You hunger for popularity. You hunger for wealth. You hunger for this, that, and the next thing. And even though you go on being hungry, you still hunger for those things. And all the time, Jesus says to us, I am the bread of life that came down to the world. Come and hunger for me. Be willing this morning, somebody, someone amongst us, be willing to say, in my soul, I am genuinely, truly hungry. Jesus says, if you come to me and you hunger for me, you'll never hunger again. Now, one of the things about bread, I know that there's a bit of difficulty in saying this now. You could have said it easily 50 years ago. But bread is for everyone. Bread is not just for some people, but it's good for everyone. In other words, it's suited to everyone. And when Jesus used these words, he was saying, I am suited for every case. I am suited for each and every one of you here. And some people will say this. They'll say, oh, well, Jesus is only all right for some kinds of people. And I'm not one of those people. He's not all right for me. He's no good for me. And some people, by their own standards, they consider themselves to be smart. They consider themselves to be rather intelligent, which is fine. They can do that if they like. And what they say is that Jesus is... I've had this said to me. Jesus is for the simpletons in life. The people who just can't make it. But he's not for me. I feel I should just tell you about Felix Mendelssohn. And I think that I should tell you about Michael Faraday. You wouldn't have any electricity as you have it today if you did not have Michael Faraday. By the way, his discoveries were so great that at the end of his life, he was acknowledged with distinctions from international academies of almost 100 around the world. What about the founder of the Red Cross, Henry Durant? What about him? All of these, if they were sat here this morning. Oh, and Henry Heinz, when you have your tomato ketchup. All of them. If they were sat here this morning, they would say, Mr. Hemingway, I agree with you. Jesus is the bread of life, because every one of them was a true Christian. Jesus, some people say, is not for me, because he's only for the simpletons of life. These are some of the most remarkable people who have graced our world. And they were true Christians who believed just what we believe here together in this church. Look at the faith of Sir Isaac Newton. Look at the faith of Sir Isaac Newton. These are remarkable people. But then you see there are others who say, well, actually, Christianity is too profound. It's too deep for me. It's too difficult for me to get a hold of. I can't possibly think of being able to get to grips with the depths of Christian theology. Christ is not for me. And I just say this. Oh, don't we just make excuses for ourselves. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not this, it's the other. It's always some reason why Christ is not good enough for me. So I say this to you this morning. If you're the poor man, if you're the peasant, I'll put myself in that category gladly. Then Christ is for you. If you're the king, if you're the rich man, if you're the one who is well and truly established, Jesus is for you also. You notice that the shepherds came to him. And you notice that the kings also came to him. Jesus is for everyone. He's not for some. He's the bread of life to each and every one of us if we would but just have him. Now, you might be asking this question, why the need for Jesus as the bread of life? And this is what is so difficult for people to accept. The answer is that we're soulish. You're not just flesh and bones. There's more to you than just being this. Much more. We are soulish. And God is not in our lives. He is absent from our lives. And it is shown by the very lives that we live. And I'll tell you why he's absent from our lives. He's absent from our lives. This most unpopular word that no one wants to say today is the word sin. It's because sin is in our lives. And sin in our lives makes us deeply dissatisfied. And why do you think that everyone is yearning for something new? Why do you think we always, always need something new? A new figure. A new face. A new experience. New pleasure. A new partner. A new this. A new that. Because deep down, within each and every one of us, we're dissatisfied. And it doesn't matter how high the roller coaster of life takes you, it will never be high enough. The thrill will never be great enough. The satisfaction will never be deep enough. It will never truly satisfy us. Until God is in our lives by Jesus Christ, we will always be a dissatisfied people. And people will always go on saying, I do not have enough. And the Bible says, because of our sin, we are so very hungry. And someone this morning may listen to this message and go away and find another sticking plaster to stick over the problem. And I ask, is it going to deal with your greed? Will it deal with your bitterness and your selfishness and your poverty of love? Who's going to deal with your pride and your avarice and anger and hatred and racism? We're wasting away because of what sin has done to our lives. And we just can't face up to it. A sticking plaster here and a sticking plaster there. The adultery and the lying and the cheating. It will always go on because it can't be broken. Its power is in us. And it's in us because of our sin. And some people, I know, I've heard it, they simply shrug their shoulders and they say, nothing can be done. There's nothing that can be done. I'm astonished that people turn to politics to believe that something can be done. But they do. And all along, Jesus stands ready to be the bread of life who would answer our questions and deal with us. Have any of you heard that great hymn sung at the Welsh events like the Welsh rugby matches and so on? Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. You can hear the Welsh sound coming up, the hairs on the back of your neck standing on end. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. That's the picture. We're in a barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And that's why I say to people, come to the Lord, come to know him, and he will hold you. In this world of uncertainty, in this life of uncertainty, he will hold us with his powerful hand. He will. And he'll be the bread of heaven to our souls now and forevermore. What a wonderful picture at Christmas. The one who came down came to be the bread of life, not for some, but for each and every one of us. Now, I'm coming close to the end, but I want to say this. You know, there is a stigma to being in need. You can't deny it. It's just the truth. People find it difficult to admit that they're in need. There's a shame attached to needing help. And many people profoundly feel it. And we know that many people who access the food banks up and down this country, they will often speak about the shame of having to do it. But do you know what? Need very often overcomes shame. And often it's the people in need who are most humble and can bring themselves to access the help which they need. And I think it's a wonderful thing that there is so much mercy in the land today, the milk of human kindness that is shown by people who run food banks up and down the country. And I think that they're going to be long needed. But I hang my message on it this morning. Christmas is the original food bank. Christmas is when Jesus came down to be the bread of life for each and every one of us. But look now, watch this. People are just too proud to access the original food bank. They know that there is a stigma attached to Jesus. They know that there is a stigma attached to following him and coming to him. And in our day, by the way, there is a very, very subtle persecution against the Bible. So many of the young people will know that if they were just to side with Jesus for a moment, there'll be some form of persecution, because Jesus would be against the new morality. Of course he would. There is a stigma attached to coming to Jesus. And so people starve to death in their sins, and one day they will die in their sins, and one day they will have to face the wrath of God. And yet all the time, the food was on offer, but they turned it down. They turned away from it. The stigma of me in my need, me admitting that I was poor and needy, me admitting that I needed to come to Jesus. Oh no, it's too much for you to ask of me. The Christmas message is absolutely wonderful, and it's for each and every one of us today. My final word comes like this: pull up a chair, sit down, humble yourself, come to the original food bank, be willing to taste and eat of him. And by the way, I'm quick to say this, it's not the church that's the food bank. It's not the priest that's the food bank. It's certainly not me. It's not an organisation which becomes a cult. It's Jesus himself, and only him, who can feed our souls, who can do it. One last illustration. Picture a loaf of bread. What has it gone through to become a loaf of bread? You can picture it, of course you can. The grain that becomes a loaf of bread, it has to be planted, it has to grow, it has to ripen, it has to be cut down, it has to be winnowed, and then it has to be ground to fine flour, and then finally it has to be subjected to the fire of the oven and made into the stuff that we eat. And that is exactly what has happened to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come down. He was planted into our world. He was born into our world at what we call Christmas. The Bible says he was bruised and he was cut off from the land of the living, and he had done no wrong. Not one word was found ill in his mouth, and cut down in the prime of life, and he was killed and crucified upon a cruel cross. And there he bore the wrath of God for the sake of all his people. The heat of Almighty God was laid upon him, so that the sins of his people might not be counted against them. And he suffered judgment in that place. What an extraordinary picture this is. If we don't want to be rejected by the Lord, we need to receive him now. We need to make sure that we don't reject him now. For this bread, the bread of heaven, you don't have to queue up for it. You don't have to pay for it. He's not asking you anything for it. He's offering it to you freely. But you'll have to come humbly, and you'll have to acknowledge your need of it. You'll have to acknowledge, actually, Lord, I am starving to death. You'll have to acknowledge, I am emaciated. You'll have to acknowledge, I'm dying in my sins, and I need you. That person is the person who comes to Jesus, and that is the person who believes in him as the Saviour, and that is the person who finds him to be their Lord. And when you took into your food this Christmas, you might remember this message. It might stay with you over Christmas, and you might recall it and ask yourself, have I thought about the bread of life? Have I thought about what Christmas is really about? At the end of the Christmas message, I always try to say this, to empathise with all of you. I was once in exactly the same place as each and every one of you. I once didn't believe. I once didn't know this bread of life. I was once being sustained by the rubbish food of this life, until the Lord graciously came to me and saved me by his grace, and he will come to any one of us. Don't put yourselves outside of this food. Don't say it's not for you. Don't turn your noses up at it this Christmas. But may this Christmas, the time when you, many of you will be going for your Christmas food shopping tomorrow and the day after, recall this message. Jesus is the bread of heaven, the bread of life, who has come down for each and every one of us. May God speak to us at this Christmas time and bless his word to us. Amen.